Hi there, I'm Janet Quinlan, and this is Finding Joy in Motherhood, the podcast for women who are looking for practical tools and words of encouragement to create an orderly, joyful, faith, and virtue-driven home. I'll share tips to create mindset shifts that change the way you discipline your children, love your husband, and enjoy your day. This podcast is about coaching women to be the best woman God is calling her to be. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, and welcome to episode number 168, Teaching Your Children Perseverance and Fortitude. Okay, so after I recorded this podcast on perseverance and fortitude, I found out how long it was. So I'm going to break these two up. So this first week you'll hear perseverance, and then next week I'll come out with fortitude. All right, so enjoy this first part of perseverance and fortitude. This is perseverance. So after just finishing Lent, I thought this would be a really good topic because I'm sure that we were all confronted at some point or another during Lent with our lack of perseverance, or maybe our children's lack of perseverance, or maybe even fortitude. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to sort of examine our own fortitude and perseverance, and then how do we teach our children that? First, let me just remind you, for both of these virtues, the biggest and best teacher is your children watching you. So that puts a lot of pressure on us, I know, and we don't have to be perfect, but if they see us trying, that's so important. Okay, let's first define perseverance and fortitude. I think sometimes people think it's the same thing, and it's really not. So perseverance, first of all, it's necessary to practice all the other virtues, to persevere, to have continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. Fortitude is the strength of mind that enables a person to either encounter danger or bear pain or adversity with courage. So one is more of a physical, it does come from the mental. As we know in coaching, your actions come from your thoughts, but the perseverance is more about continuing action, continuing the effort, whereas fortitude is that strength of mind and character, okay? So fortitude is the mental or emotional strength that enables courage in the face of adversity, while perseverance is the continuation in a course of action without regard to discouragement or opposition or maybe even previous failure. All right, this is something that I found very interesting, is that perseverance often is more important than aptitude and raw talent, and actually is a more accurate predictor of achievement. So for instance, a person who loses 50 pounds doesn't have to be smart. They just have to persevere. And often, children who are intellectually gifted have trouble later on in their teens and in their early adulthood persevering and not giving up when things get hard because they haven't been forced to practice perseverance when they were young. So when things are very easy to children when they're young, and they don't have that opportunity to learn how to persevere, then when they get older, they're suddenly confronted with things that aren't easy, that don't come naturally to them, and they have to learn that virtue of perseverance. And it's a lot harder to learn the virtue when you're older than when you're young. So one year when I was teaching first grade, I had a young girl who was just a delight, very bright, but she was not good at being very quick with her timed addition and subtraction facts. And one day, she started crying. And so we went out to the hall and I asked, "What's going on? Why are you crying?" And she said, "I'm just not good at this." It's because so much had come easily to her that when something came up for her that was a challenge, she didn't quite know how to handle it. She didn't know how to persevere. And it's not at all unusual. It was a great opportunity, actually, in first grade to teach her this because years down the road, she's going to have a lot of things come up that she's not going to know, you know, how to push through or persevere through. And hopefully the little lesson that she and I had out in the hall will stick with her so that as she grows, she'll remember, oh, I just have to practice. So here's what I told her. I said, you know, it's just a matter of practicing. It's not a matter of whether or not you are born being good at math facts, you know, being real fast about math facts. It's do you practice to be fast? And at first, I think she didn't really buy it. And then I challenged her. I said, you go home and for the next week, every night for 5 or 10 minutes, go through your math facts, go through your flashcards. And then when you come back to school in a week, we're going to have, you know, we did games in the classroom where we had math facts of who's the fastest. And I would time the kids. And so this is in the beginning of the year. She got a little better, a little better, a little better. And by the end of the year, she was winning all of the math facts because she had practiced. She persevered. And, you know, this is all tied to the growth mindset. So often we have a fixed mindset, which means we think we can only do so much. And so we just don't even try to persevere. A growth mindset is a mindset that says, ah, but if I try, if I persevere, can I learn a new skill? Can I get faster at something? Can I be more efficient with something? That's a growth mindset. And that's what you want to give your children. And actually, it's what you want to have for yourself. I coach a lot of women who say, I'm just not good at keeping a house. And I say to them, well, if that's your thought, you're never going to get good at keeping a house. Are you happy with the way you want to keep your house? And they will always say, no, I'm not. But I'm not good at it. I said, let's see if we can fix that thought. So the first thing we would say is, I could be good at it, or I can learn new ways to keep a house, or this is so important to our home life, to the peace of our home life, that I am going to figure this out. And you know what? When they have those thoughts, their actions reflect those thoughts, and they do learn to keep a good house. I've told the story before. When I was a kid, man, I was a mess. I never put my clothes away. Things were always on the floor. And then as I got into my adulthood, I looked around and I said, I don't want to live like this anymore. And so I learned the habits that I needed to keep my room and my new home as I was a married woman clean. So have a growth mindset in perseverance. Okay, let me give you some ideas of how to help your children persevere. Now, I'm saying how to help your children. Okay, with a wink and a nod, because this is also how you can help yourself. And remember, your children are watching you. They will imitate you if you're doing what you're asking them to do. Number one, set goals. So set goals for yourself and set goals for your children and goals that you will follow up with. Okay, you can't set goals for your children and then off they go and, you know, cross your fingers and hope that they actually achieve the goals. No, you need to articulate for them what goals could be for their life. And depending on how old they are, they could be very simple, like staying in your bed. That's a goal. And as you teach your little toddler to stay in their bed and to teach them to persevere staying in their bed, you have to help them by correcting them and taking them back to their room when they get out of their bed. You could set goals with your children about being true to their word, being honest about when they're going to do their homework and how they're going to do their homework. It's not just good enough to get it done. You want to set goals for your children to persevere, to do their homework well. Same with jobs around the house. You give jobs around the house from early as 2 and 3 years old. Start early teaching them how to persevere with the jobs that you give them. Now, you're not going to give a 3-year-old the job to clean up the whole toy room all by themselves. It's just too much. But you can help them. You can teach them where the toys go, their appropriate places, and how to keep the room clean. So set goals for your children. Number two, articulate the steps to reach the goal. So especially with children who are young and they don't have a real understanding of future, they only understand now. So what we do is we take the big goal of, let's say, keeping the home clean. Okay, that's a big goal. But we break it down into picking up the toys before lunch, picking up the toys before dinner, picking up the toys before going to bed. Okay, we take the big goal of keeping, you know, a clean and clutter-free home down into those three different times that we teach them to pick up the goals. And we teach them the habit so that they understand this is part of the big goal of keeping their things neat and tidy and our home neat and tidy. So when you want to give a specific job to them, break it down into small little tasks, teaching them the habit for each task. For instance, if you want them to clean their room, rather than saying to a five-year-old or even an eight-year-old, go clean your room, tell them specifically, make sure your bed is made, make sure there's nothing on the floor, make sure all the toys are put where they belong and all your clothes are picked up and in the dirty laundry bin. Okay, you're real clear about what you want because you've broken the goal down into steps. The third thing is to clarify the objective. Explain the purpose behind the need for persevering. Tell them it makes them strong. Help them see that a job well done is really important in who their character is. When they give up, they say to themselves, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. So when you clarify the objective that you persevere until the end, and when you persevere until the end, you will develop inner strength. That will help them understand why perseverance. So clarify the objective, the purpose behind the need to persevere. The fourth one is to teach them to anticipate obstacles. So many people give up easily when an obstacle or an adversity comes their way. So here are some obstacles that can be applied either to us or to our children. When enthusiasm wanes, yeah, we're all excited to go declutter the house, and then we get to the closet and we're like, ugh, I don't want to do that. All suddenly the enthusiasm is gone. So we have to recognize that's just an obstacle. We can choose to give in to that emotional obstacle, or we can choose to say, yeah, I'm not going to let my emotions rule my brain. I'm going to go clean out my closet. So I remember when we had all the kids, and on a particular Saturday, we would say, okay, everybody, we're cleaning the garage. Everybody's like, yay, yay. And we get out to the garage and we're like, oh, well, actually, take that back. For the first 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, we're all like, yeah, let's go do this and throw this away and put this where it belongs. And then it's like, this is not fun anymore. So just because it's not fun doesn't mean we give up. We go through that obstacle to persevere to get to the end. We typically had McDonald's, which we didn't have much, so once we got through cleaning the garage, we would say, okay, we're going to go to McDonald's or we're going to have a special treat. And that helps a little with children. And there's no reason why you can't do that. It's not bribing. It's just offering a positive consequence. Okay? So in our own life, we have to recognize that our enthusiasm will wane. It'll dissipate. And we just can't let that control how we perform. We can't let it take away our perseverance. For some, it's the first sign of difficulty, when something is hard. So when we cleaned out the garage, the kids would always take out the light-weighted stuff, you know, the balls, the bases, even the bikes. And then we got into the things that were a little heavier, like paint cans, and it was really hard, and they wanted to give up. And we said, no. You carry that paint can out to the driveway, we're going to figure out what we're going to do with it. So when a difficulty or an obstacle comes up, we recognize that even though this is hard, we're just going to keep doing it. Maybe an obstacle is when something better comes up. So if we have in mind that we're cleaning our bathroom this morning and a friend calls and says, hey, you want to go for coffee? But we have scheduled that we're cleaning our bathroom. We go clean our bathroom. And we say to our friend, hey, can we maybe schedule it for later this afternoon or tomorrow morning? But not give in to when something better comes up. Same with our children. For sure, as soon as you assign them a job to do, one of their friends is going to call them or come over and say, hey, can you play? And we have to say no. Finish your job first, and then you can go play. Okay, number 5, don't jump in and save your children or indulge their disappointments or their I can'ts. All right, as a teacher, I was stunned by the mothers who do everything for their children, and it made my heart sad because I knew that what they were doing was actually handicapping their children. They were teaching their children to believe that they couldn't do it themselves. What a terrible thing to teach your child, because it's so pervasive in all areas of their life. You do not want to do everything for your children. Teach them to feed themselves. Now, not dinner, but you know, if they're going to have a snack, they can get a snack. They can make their own lunches. They can make their own breakfast sometimes. Teach them to clean up after themselves. So many moms complain that when they come home from dropping their children off at school, they have a mess in the kitchen to clean up. I'm like, why do you have a mess in the kitchen to clean up? Your children should have cleaned up after themselves. Yes, even kindergartners. They should take their dishes over, put them in the sink at the very minimum, or maybe in the dishwasher right away if they don't have to have food rinsed off, or maybe they can rinse off their own food. Put a little stool in front of the sink so that they can turn the faucet on and rinse off their dishes and put them in the dishwasher. Children should make their own beds. It takes nothing to turn around and pull the sheet and blanket and maybe comforter over the bed and smooth it out. Moms drive them to all their activities without making demands on their children to contribute to the upkeep of the home. And the moms are overwhelmed and exhausted. That's like giving children freedom without responsibility. You don't want to do that. If your children want to do activities that's going to cause you to work more, they need to contribute around the home. They need to help so that you can spend that time taking them where they want to go. I would see moms carry their children's backpack into school. What? Why are you doing that? Let your children carry their own backpack to school and don't do their school projects. When you do these things, you're teaching your child, you cannot do it on your own. I have no confidence in you. That's not a good message for a mother to give to a child. And the last one is giving into their children's disappointments. When they cry, when they're upset, when things don't go their way, we indulge them. Maybe we want to give them a snack or get them ice cream because they didn't win the soccer game, or let them cry and cry and cry. You know, if they want to cry, they can cry. I'm not suggesting that you don't let them show their emotions, but don't indulge their emotions. Don't indulge their disappointments. Help them to see how could they do it better or differently so that next time they're not disappointed. All right, number 6. This is really the most important part of teaching your children perseverance. Celebrate and acknowledge the results. There's nothing wrong with the good, healthy, holy pride that we instill in our children. Maybe it's when they play a new musical instrument well, or they learn a new athletic skill. Or maybe it's they're learning to give art lessons and they're really trying. Focus on their trying and encourage them and support them. And when they get a grade after they've really studied for a test, even if they get a C and they've really studied and you saw them study, you know it, congratulate them on working hard. Some children are going to get C's. That's okay. It's all right. Everyone doesn't have to get an A. They do have to do their best. That was always what we told our children, was, doesn't matter what your grades are, but we expect you to do your best. And that made them responsible for how much effort they put into it. And they all did pretty well. The second point is especially important in the teen years when they really need positive encouragement and dopamine hits for the good things that they do, because everything in their life is a challenge. If they're on social media all day long, they see how they don't measure up. They always will compare themselves to the smartest kid, the cutest kid, the most popular kid, the most athletic kid. And so it's really, really important when you have teenagers to be there and encourage them and support them and celebrate their wins. They're so easily distracted and derailed by their perceived faults and failures that they don't even see what their wins are. They don't see their accomplishments. They often lose sight of what their talents and their gifts are in the teen years because they're so busy comparing themselves to someone else that they don't see what's right in front of them, the person that God made that has lots of gifts and talents. So parents, moms, it's your job to really be positive, a positive, encouraging force in their lives to help them continue to persevere in all aspects of their life. All right, here's the part where you get to examine your own life. Perseverance. I'm just going to ask you some questions. Think about it. Do you ask for God's help regularly in living your life well with intention, charity, and orderliness? Do you set goals for yourself and for the future? Do you break down the goals into measurable stages or steps to confirm you're actually still working towards the goal? Rather than have that big New Year's resolution, how do you break it down so that you are working towards that big goal? Do you remind yourself on a regular basis why you are persevering in specific activities? And are you making sure they align with your values and morals and the ultimate goals of your life? Getting to heaven. Do you do what you say when you say you will do it? Not making excuses for yourself or give in to distractions. Do you keep aware of obstacles that are out of your control and continue to do your best? So, there are going to be things that come up and we have no control over it. That's okay, as long as we really have no control over it and we're not just giving in. And then the next day, we begin again. Okay, next week we'll talk about fortitude. I had wanted to do them together in the same episode, but like I said, it just got too long. But I think perseverance and fortitude really work in tandem to really give a good inner strength to not only us, but to our children. So work on perseverance this week, and then next week we'll do fortitude. All right, everyone, have a great week. Thanks for being here. Do you have a life coach who helps you be the woman you want to be? The woman God has called you to be? Who helps you sort through your marriage or parenting difficulties and helps you create the mindset you need to embrace your vocation with joy and gratitude? If you're looking for a coach, I would be so honored to help you. Email me at Janet@findingjoyinmotherhood.com.